Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to this edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the phone this morning is Arthur Keyes, and Arthur is the director of the State Division of Agriculture, and you are calling in from where this morning, Arthur?
Well, I'm calling in from Juneau today, and, you know, I think the last time we talked, I was also calling in from Juneau that time, too.
Were you really?
I think so.
Oh, I was in Oregon, and you were in Juneau. We were doing this from all over the place. Well,
it's kind of a crazy whirlwind.
It is a crazy world that we both live in, and I just want to point out something real quick related to Farmland Trust, just a tiny little bit of housekeeping in case anybody's listening and they're wondering what happened on Monday. We very unfortunately had to cancel our fundraiser Monday night, our Drink Beer Safe Farms event with super saturated sugar strings at 49th State Brewing Company had to be canceled due to the crazy weather that was happening Monday evening. And we are working real hard to reschedule that. Nothing like trying to work around the schedule of six band members in a very popular venue, but we're going to make it happen. So I just want to let folks know that we almost have a date selected to have that fundraiser in replace of what was supposed to happen Monday night. So just wanted to throw that out there. And then it's Valentine's Day, Arthur. What local food did you get for your Valentine today?
Well, that's a great question, Amy. Said it. I'm in Juneau, like you mentioned, and my wife's in Palmer, so there won't be any special meal for my Valentine this time around. But you know, I'll take care of her over when I get home.
Will local food be involved? That's our thing, right? Local food. We have to have local food to celebrate everything.
Absolutely. There's nothing more important. But I'm just going to tell you that. Her and I, we've planned a special trip away, and we're actually going to be out of state when we celebrate our Valentine's.
Oh, good for you. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, cheers to everyone out there that's celebrating Valentine's Day in some way. I know it's a big day in a lot of children's world. You know, it's the parents that have to do the late night filling out of all the Valentines the night before and the crazy trips to Fred Meyer for the last minute things that you forgot and all that stuff. So, Valentine's Day it is. So moving right off of that topic, Arthur, let's chat about what's going on in the world of agriculture right now. The last time you and I were in the same room together, it was for a livestock industry meeting. Was that last week or 2 weeks ago? You guys had your second livestock industry meeting. Let's chat about that.
Yeah, that was actually last week, and so the livestock. You know, there's lots of interest right now in livestock production. You know, and of course, for those that don't know, but McKinley Meat and Sausage, the state-owned slaughter facility, that went into private ownership. May 15th of last year.
So coming up on a year.
Coming up on a year, big anniversary there, successfully operating in the private sector. And I think that the feedback that I've gotten from producers is, you know, that this has been a good thing for the most part. And there's opportunity. There's lots of opportunity. The meat plant is operating at a capacity that it probably never has before. The amount of production going through there. And so the feedback that I'm getting is that because of the increased production that it's doing, if you call and you need to use their services, there's really not a delay. You can just go in the next day and bring in whatever kind of animal numbers you have.
Oh, that's good. And that's a big change.
It's a big change. And so a lot of optimism from those producers that want to grow. And so I think livestock is a segment of the industry that is historically maybe been not done what it could have done. And it has been growing the last couple of years. And the numbers of livestock in the state are record highs.
Oh, really?
And in conjunction, so, and I should tell you that, we use a lot of USDA data to understand what's going on in the industry. And of course, there's anecdotal data, and there's some USDA slaughter numbers that we're able to get, but the USDA survey census, that's really the important information. And they do that every 5 years. And so the census data that we are working with for a lot of these things is from 2012.
Sure.
And we expect the 2017 census data to be out later this year. And
if people fill out their surveys, right? Little plug for listeners that producers really need to fill out their survey.
So, you know, I've heard you say that before.
It's important.
That may even be a topic of one of your shows.
Ooh, yeah, I had Sue on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So we're really looking forward to seeing where that data is going to come out at and show where
Absolutely.
We're at. But from the 2012 data, we were at record highs in livestock in Alaska. And when I look at the data, we've got a record number of farmers in Alaska right now,
yeah.
Record number of livestock. I think they put the number right around $40 million in livestock.
Wow.
And I think it'll be quite a bit higher. I hope it's quite a bit higher than that when it comes out again in 2017. But what happens when you bring livestock, they're like a cornerstone of the agriculture industry. And when those livestock numbers go up, you bring these animals into the state and the grain production goes up,
right.
The hay production goes up. All of these supporting agriculture industry segments rise with the livestock. So, well, I think livestock's exciting. I think I'm really looking forward to working with these producers and seeing where we can take Alaska.
Yeah, so the point of the couple of meetings that you've had there at the Division of Agriculture was to get input from producers about the potential of a new position there at the Division of Agriculture to serve the industry, right?
Yeah, so I think that the governor's recognized that this this opportunity exists. And in his 2019 budget, what we've done is taken a couple of vacant positions that were focused on different tasks and refocused them on this, specifically for this livestock section. One of those positions would be a state veterinarian.
Okay.
To provide that scientific support for these for this industry.
Very good.
Yeah.
And so, and lots of feedback. There was good participation in both the meetings that you guys held from producers about what kind of information they would like to have and what they'd like to see that position offer, et cetera. So, you know, the meetings were well attended, and I think you guys got a lot of good input, and it seemed like there was a lot of support for the division to move forward with this livestock specialist / state vet position.
You know, Amy, there was. I've been been involved in the ag community in Alaska for probably 15 years now, and the livestock meeting that we held, the very first one, I think there were 60 people between who attended in my office and in person, and then the number of people that called into this meeting.
Yeah.
And the people that attended, the reception that they gave this was just outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, that 60 people, just absolutely mind-blowing how much attendance we had and participation.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. And, you know, we chatted about this, and I think I brought it up in the meeting last week that in my experience with the agriculture industry over the last decade, second only to peony production, I think that the largest growth sector in agriculture right now is livestock. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do think so. And I think that, you know, I'm glad you brought up peonies. I attended the peony conference in Anchorage 2 weeks ago. And again, like I said, I've been involved in agriculture a long time here in Alaska. And that peony conference, from just being there and seeing the attendance, I think it was the best attended agriculture event in the state of Alaska that I've ever been to.
Really?
Yeah,
that's great.
They had a packed ballroom, and a great agenda and lineup, and I think a lot of interest.
Speakers from across the country,
and they had flower buyers from across the country, showing the interest is there. Alaska peony growers are on the radar of the national flower buyers, and America, the world wants this product.
That's exciting stuff.
Yeah, another exciting segment of the ag industry in Alaska.
That's growing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're one of those lucky states that is growing agriculture, growing in number of farms. I heard a little rumor that the average age of the Alaskan farmer is actually coming down. So you're right. Again, it'll be exciting to see what the 2017 census reveals and what data will prove up these anecdotal measurements that you and I see. Before we move on, Arthur, just a quick reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the phone this morning is State of Alaska Division of Agriculture Director Arthur Keyes. Arthur, tomorrow I head to Juneau. I'm going to be on a flight about this time tomorrow morning, which is going to make for another obnoxiously early morning, but I'm coming down there because tomorrow night there's a big event at the People's House at the Governor's Mansion. What's going on tomorrow night?
I'll tell you what, exciting stuff. I stopped in there last night, and I think there's a lot of excitement going on. You know, 3 years ago, February 10th of 2016, the governor hosted the very first Alaska Grown reception dinner at the People's House, the Governor's Mansion.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been in ag for a little while, and I've known people that have been in Alaska and agriculture for over 50 years. And they have never seen this kind of participation in their industry at this level from the state government. And so what this Alaska Grown reception is they'll be bringing in Alaskan grown foods from all over the state, bringing in farmers. It's basically an open door for farmers to come to the governor's mansion and enjoy the meal that's all Alaskan. There will be lawmakers, legislators there. There will be 4-H, FFA. It's just a good, fun event. There will be a band and just a great opportunity for the people that, put in this hard work, providing for Alaska's food security, feeding Alaskans, and get some recognition from the highest levels of government for the hard work they do. And it's just really exciting.
It is exciting. And it's, I think it's really appreciated by producers that the governor and the members of the legislature take the time to recognize the importance of Alaska's food system and highlight some of the products from across the state. For the last couple of years, I was involved in the planning committee that put kind of the menu together and the food together. But this year, I was out of the loop. So were you in the loop? Do you know what we're going to eat tomorrow night?
So I'm on the periphery of the loop.
Okay. That's closer than me.
So let's talk about one of the exciting things that's happening in ag. Aside from part of the livestock is we've seen a really big resurgence in local egg production and poultry production in Alaska.
Absolutely.
And tomorrow, I believe that poultry is going to be the featured meal item.
Okay.
And so when I was a kid in Alaska in the 70s, you could go into the grocery store and you could buy local eggs. There was there's more than a couple. There's probably half a dozen egg farms here in Alaska. And they were producing pallets and pallets of eggs a day. And with the advent of refrigeration and cheap transport, I think they were victims of that, and they went away. This past summer was the first time, I think, in decades, that you could walk into a major grocery retailer, and they had a shelf of local eggs. And this is a monumental event, and I think you've had Rochelle Plummer on your radio show before.
Yep.
And she deserves tremendous amount of kudos for pulling this off. Her vision and the implementation of that vision has just been phenomenal. Well,
yeah.
You can also at some stores find whole broiler chickens.
Yeah.
Alaskan grown broiler chickens. And so that's what they're going to feature. That's what's going to be down here. But I'm going to tell you that I have some staff at work at the Division of Agriculture that are real big supporters of the livestock industry, and I've got one of them that is just does not get loud enough for beating the drum or the local bacon. And if you haven't experienced the local bacon, you haven't
lived.
Well, it's a culinary miracle. And so I actually brought down, I think, 12 pounds of bacon that we're going to have at the governor's mansion. And I think anybody that's, you know, even on the fence or doesn't really understand the importance of Alaskan agriculture, I think if they try a fresh bird and they try some fresh bacon, they're going to be sold. And, yeah, so that's what's going to happen tomorrow night.
Well, that's exciting. I'm super excited that the governor continues this effort of hosting the Alaska Grown Reception. And, you know, he hosts it, but I do want to point out that there are producers from across the state that have donated their product. And there's been a lot of effort put into getting all that product down into Juneau. And then the chefs that prepare it for the last couple of years have done an incredible job, and I've no doubt that they will again tomorrow night. So I'm super excited for that event. You know, Arthur, it doesn't go without saying that it was at this event 2 years ago, right, that you were named Division of Agriculture Director, right?
Yeah, February 10th, 2016.
So how does that feel? You're year two on the job. You've made it.
It was. You know, it's crazy. If you'd asked me, you know, that year one, that year two is a huge accomplishment, it certainly is. But it still feels like yesterday that I started. It feels like there's a lot of work still to do. We have accomplished a lot. You know, there's been some pretty big successes in the past 2 years. And then the more I do this job, the more I realize we're only just beginning. There's so much to get done. And, you know, everyone is working their tails off to do it. But, yeah, 2 years on the job. It's been a crazy, an amazing ride. And, just real, it's exciting. It's great, Amy. It's hard to believe it's been only 2 years.
700 and or 800 and how many days? Or I'm not good at math. You know that about me, but
well,
I know.
I think we're at seven something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know. I'm certainly glad that you're there. You're doing a great job. You have raised the awareness about Alaska agriculture tremendously. I remember when we were talking about your interest in that job, and it's, you know, you kind of get to be the head cheerleader for agriculture across the state and even across the country. You get to carry the Alaska banner down into the lower 48. I've seen Alaska grown carrots at NASDA meetings, you know, featured on social media and things. So you're doing a great job, and we're glad that you're there. And again, glad that the administration is taking the time to recognize the importance of Alaska grown food. So two thumbs up for that.
Thank you. Yeah. And you bring up those carrots at NASDA. Just put this out there for other Alaskan producers. You know, Alaskan carrots, they're a great item that are, I'd call it almost like a carrot ambassadorship for Alaskan agriculture. They can have up to 8 times the sugar content of a California carrot. They taste good even when they've been in storage. And you can't say that about carrots from everywhere. And so, Amy, at my house, I've got a general rule. I've got a roll-on suitcase that 50 pounds of carrots fits in perfectly. It's not a fancy suitcase, but it's just a suitcase. And I don't fly. I don't go anywhere without filling that carrot suitcase up. And I don't care if it's Washington, D.C., Tennessee, Florida. I fill a suitcase up full of carrots. And wherever I go, someone asks me what I do, I've got carrots, and I hand out carrots. When I got down to Juneau, that was, you know, one of the first questions when I walked into the DNR building. One of the first questions I got asked is, do you have carrots? I'm like, oh, yeah. Wearing my backpack, and I had a 2-pound bag, and I'm like, "Yeah, here's a bag of carrots." I do that everywhere I go, and I, you know, it's something that every Alaskan can do. And it doesn't have to be carrots, but certainly that's an easy item that a person could, take along with them. They travel easy, they travel good. But I'd be, you know, you can do any item that's Alaska grown that's going to have that, flavor profile. It's got the sugars in there, or like this bacon. I mean, I love Alaskan bacon. I mean, Amy, you've had Alaskan bacon, right?
Yeah, big fan.
Yeah. The fennel bacon. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So anyway, these are things that speak to themselves, and I try and, you know, I view it as just being the cheerleader, being the ambassador for the industry. So
yeah.
Anyway, anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. That'd be my
well,
point.
And everybody should, you know, when people used to ask me what they could do to make a difference in Alaska agriculture, I just used to remind them that wherever you go, whenever you're eating, ask about Alaska grown. You know, when you're at the grocery store and you're checking out and somebody says, the checker says, did you find everything you were looking for today? And you say, no, actually, I didn't find any Alaska grown this, or I was looking for Alaska grown that. And it does make a difference. And all of us out there, you know, rallying for Alaska grown over time, it has made a difference, and it will continue to make a difference. So again, great work, and looking forward to that meal tomorrow night. Another reminder to listeners, this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host here in Palmer, Amy Pettit, and joining me via telephone this morning is Arthur Keyes, the State of Alaska Division of Agriculture Director. You're down in Juneau. I know that you're not just down there for the reception, Arthur. I know you're meeting with legislators and attending hearings and probably having to give presentations, et cetera. So how are things feeling down in Juneau this year? Is it a productive session and people are excited and all of the good things?
Yeah, so I got here yesterday, and I can see it's going to be a very busy, very busy time. I think there's going to be a lot happening. I think it's just going to be one meeting after the next. I'm doing a presentation today. Looking at the clock here, I'm doing a presentation at noon, and then I have another presentation at 1:00. And it's busy. It's a very busy time. I think I'll probably, when I leave here, I'll be very tired.
I bet. Well, I think next week on the show, I don't have the calendar in front of me, but I believe it's next week, I've got Amy Seitz from the Alaska Farm Bureau on the show, and we're going to get into some of the nitty-gritty details about legislation being discussed in Juneau this year related to agriculture, so I won't make you go into that. But let's talk about a couple of other things that are coming up on the calendar in the agriculture world. We mentioned the livestock industry meetings that the division of it has been hosting, and then, of course, the peony growers had their big meeting, and winter's kind of the time when folks have their industry meetings because everybody's planning for the next year, and it's a little bit of a quiet time for most folks. So there's another big agriculture meeting coming up. Is it next weekend that the Delta Farm Forum is happening?
Yeah, the Delta Farm Forum on Saturday. I'll be up there for that.
Okay, good.
And I would say that the Delta Farm Forum, in my experience, has been one of the largest ag gatherings in the state. So I'd say it's right there. Probably in times that I've attended, it's been right there in attendance levels as with the peony conference I went to. But that's a big meeting. That's a big meeting. And you'll have farmers up there that are growing 17,000 acres.
Right.
You have farmers there with 17,000, and you'll have farmers there with 68. So it's across the board. I was up there in Delta this past summer, and, I was on a barley farm, and it was 17,000 acres. And we drove across the farm, and it took probably a half hour, 45 minutes to drive across the farm. And so I asked them, and I'm like, okay, so I'm a specialty crop producer, which is, for anybody that doesn't know, that's anything that's in the produce department is a specialty crop. And so that's the kind of agriculture that I'm used to, smaller scale, a lot of hands-on work. This 17,000 acre farm had three beautiful, beautiful John Deere combines. And these things have got the head on them that's 35 feet wide. And the way they harvest, Amy, if you can imagine this, if you haven't seen it, is there'll be three of them basically side by side.
Yeah.
They're harvesting 105 feet at a time and feeding that into these, into these hoppers and trucks and hauling it out of there. But I asked them, I said, it took a half hour for us to drive over, or maybe it was 45 minutes to drive over here. How do you manage your time, your day? And he goes, oh, well, we, in the morning, we know where we're going to be working. He said, we have an entire, like a caravan that drives out there. And they have a shop on wheels, got a welder, and fuel, and just everything. And he goes, whatever happens,
when and how bad something breaks,
we fix it in place. There's a welder, there's a, like a little mini machine shop on one of the trucks, and we fix it right there because of exactly that. If you can imagine, if you went out in the field unprepared with all the tools you needed, and it's a 45-minute drive, and you've got a whole crew to drive all this equipment,
right.
I mean, the cost and unproductivity would be just tremendous. So to go see that agriculture scale happening in Alaska, it's really mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And it's neat. And so, he makes a comment, he's been there since the 60s farming with his parents, and he said, said to me, he goes, we're here, we've always been here, and we're successful. And so, that's the message that I think that they want to convey is that, man, Delta Agriculture's there, and it's a really cool thing. So I'd encourage any of your listeners, if they have the opportunity, get on a Delta farm tour and go see what's happening out there. It'll absolutely, just change. If you haven't seen it, it'll change what you're thinking about agriculture in Alaska.
Absolutely.
Really cool.
I'll try and find a link to that that annual summer tour, the Delta Soil and Water Conservation District and the Delta Farm Bureau, they do host an incredible farm tour every summer, and with big buses, and it's always a really great opportunity to gain some perspective about big agriculture in Alaska when you're talking scale and acres. Unfair question, but you're the director of ag, so I'm going to throw it at you. I have heard that grain producers in the Delta area are actually increasing production, like this livestock, particularly the poultry, the growth in the poultry industry has led to they're increasing production in Delta for the first time in a long time. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. That is exactly my takeaway from the message I heard from the farmers up there. And basically what they're saying, you know, in 2016, there was over 120,000 birds, eggs, laying or broiler hens imported into Alaska, and that number was up from, I'm thinking, you know, 30,000 to 40,000 the year before.
Yeah.
And those animals have to eat, and so I met with this producer. He came and saw me actually, and he's like, yeah, he goes, this is the first year. He goes, I think I'm gonna have to start calling around my neighbors to see who's got more grain to feed these animals. And so people need to understand that this production that's happening, this grain production that's happening in Delta Junction, it's feeding the entire state. They are running semi-loads of this grain out of Delta Junction. It's going all the way down to Homer. It's going to Kodiak. It's going all over the state. So, so they told me. They gave me the numbers of increased grain production that they expect to do in this 2018 season. Nothing but exciting stuff, Amy.
Oh, that's very cool. Well, good. I'm glad you'll be up there at the Delta Farm Forum. You'll have to give us a report the next time you join us in another couple of months. We've been having you on every quarter to kind of give us an update about what's going on. And I can't believe it's February already. And that means a lot of farmers are gearing up for this next season. And maybe even some of them are warming up greenhouses and starting to put seeds in the ground. Is that happening? Or not seeds
it's
in
happening.
The ground, but seeds in seed trays, I guess, right?
So the greenhouses are firing up. I've had conversations, and greenhouses are firing up. They're getting going. And I think that is... Yeah, it's summer's coming, and how could you live in Alaska and not, you know, hey, it's 5:30 and there's some daylight now, and doesn't it feel good to have that sunshine later on in the day? Well, the farmers, farmers are feeling it too, and so we're entering that. I think we're beginning to enter that beautiful time of year in Alaska when the reason we live here is because of this daylight.
Yeah.
So it's coming, and it's going to be awesome.
Yep. Going to be another great year for food production and agriculture production in the state. Arthur, our time is just about up. You know how fast it goes. So I want to thank you again for taking the time out of your busy day down there in Juneau to join me here on Ag Matters Radio. And thanks again for being the head cheerleader and you know, taking those carrots everywhere and being, I liked your term, the carrot. Did you say carrot ambassador?
Well, I think carrots speak very well for Alaska. But so does bacon. So does bacon. You know, you can pick any crop to do it with. And I'm doing it with bacon. I'm doing it with carrots. I'm doing it with whatever I can get. I'm going to take out and push out there.
Did you catch?
Carrots,
oh, go ahead.
Speaking of carrots, have you had Pam Bew on your show?
I haven't yet.
You need to get her on the show. I think she's one of the best carrot growers in the country. And I'll tell you, Amy, when I go outside, I'm in D.C. and I'm at other ag conferences, I talk about Pam Bew's carrots, Pam's carrots, and I tell everyone when I go somewhere that I think there is not a single commercial carrot producer that does a better job than her at producing carrots. And then I talk to them about the hand picking, hand harvesting of her carrots. And I don't think there's another commercial carrot producer in the country that hand harvests their commercial crop.
Yeah.
I think she needs to be on your show. I think she would be a great guest.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll put it on my list and see if I can get Pam to join me in the studio sometime. You know, Arthur, did you catch the show 2 weeks ago? I had Ryan Wisweiser was on the show from Alaska Artisanal and Chugach Chocolates. And since it's Valentine's Day, I just want to remind folks that's another great gift idea if you're looking for local food. If you can't find carrots or bacon, Chugach Chocolates made here in Alaska make a great Valentine's gift. And he mentioned that they're taste testing a chocolate bar that may include Alaska-grown potato chips.
Oh, wow.
Right?
That's
going to be fun to take around and share with people when that thing hits the shelves. So I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, Arthur, time is up. Thank you again for joining me on Ag Matters Radio, and I'll see you down in Juneau tomorrow.
All right, Amy, looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.